I'm Lieutenant Colonel. B-226 reported receiving small arms fire, some mortars, and the attack was at that point bowling from the east and southeast. The attack was originally tabbed as a diversion, which originally later proved to be truthful. Quezon Combat Base was receiving incoming 82mm mortars and 122 rockets. They received a light ground probe in the southeast end of the position. The LPs and the Arvin elements pulled back into the position awaiting further developments. At this time, Long Bay also started receiving incoming. Type and number of rounds at that point were unknown. The Arvin down at Long Bay reported many VC in the area, and in NVA also. The U.S. advisor said he had not seen any at this particular point. Also, at this particular time, the 26th Marines S3 reported earlier sightings of an estimated two battalions earlier in the afternoon. At 23:25, an attack on Hill 861 ceased. Quezon Combat Base was still a scene of enemy activity in the Arvin portion of the compound. At 23:55, a report 175 batteries here at Camp Carroll and Kalu, or the rock pile, rather, were firing one gun, four rounds, every 4 minutes in support of Quezon. At 0050 on the 7th, the 26th Marines reported that Long Bay Special Forces camp underground a heavy ground attack. At this point, some of the enemy were reported in the wire. The enemy at this point also were supported by tanks. Quezon Combat Base started receiving heavy incoming at this point. Quezon Combat Base at this point was firing all of the supporting arms that were available at Long Bay. That is, the entire 1st Battalion of the 13th Marines, and their reinforcing fires were also coming from other spots in the division area. At 0105, the CG, or the 3MAF COC, reported the presence of seven enemy tanks in the wire at Long Bay. The 26th Marines requested Spooky and a flare ship in support of Long Bay, and again reported a continuation of heavy incoming. At 0135, Quezon was averaging about 6 rounds of heavy rockets and 82mm mortars per minute. Ground troops were reported approaching the wire at Long Bay at this particular time. At 0140, 3MAF reports that 9 tanks were inside the wire at Long Bay. That one tank had been knocked out and 7 were in position on the hill. At 0210, the 3rd Marine Division DAFT reported that 4 flights of fixed-wing aircraft were on station. At 0225, DAFT reports that the aircraft over Long Bay had received the flights and required new flights inbound to be armed with rockets. Present flights are out of rocket ordnance. We're out of rocket ordnance at this time. Flights in the future will be scrambled from Da Nang with hard ordnance and rockets. At 0240, the 26th Marines reported enemy troops inside the wire at Long Bay. 3MAF reported at the same time that the tanks on the hill and every one of the above ground is an enemy and required massive air and artillery to be fired on the position immediately. General Tompkins requested the 26th Marines at this time. Major General Tompkins requested the 26th Marines to commence firecracker ordnance firing. At 0257, firecracker ordnance was being fired. The cycle of the ordnance firing in support of Long Bay was 5 minutes of firecracker, 5 minutes of mixed HEVT, followed by about a 10-minute airstrike on the portion, on the perimeter. At 0315, 26 Marines reported no comm with Long Bay position. They also reported 28 rounds of firecracker were fired in the first volley. The airstrikes commenced at 0320, recommenced at 0325. At that time, a tank was reported sitting on top of the comm bunker at Long Bay, switching, and Long Bay was switching to its secondary comm. At 0300, 0400, Quezon Combat Base still reported taking heavy incoming mortars and rockets. At 0330, Marines reported, 26 Marines reported an inbound C-130 with an unknown cargo. At 3:35, 3MAF confirms the 330 C-130 to arrive at Quezon with passengers. At 0400, conference call with Colonel Smith at 3MAF and Captain Edwards, U.S. Special Forces. The Special Forces had requested relief force to be sent to Long Bay at first light. General Tompkins, after due consideration of the situation, replied with a negative on the relief force. At 0415, the Special Forces requested Artie again to be fired on the Long Bay position. AO spotted what he reported to be as flamethrowers being used, and at this time the Special Forces indicated they had no flamethrowers at Long Bay. At 0421, 26 Marines reported firing again firecrackers. Again, the same cycle was followed. 5 minutes of firecrackers, 5 minutes of mixed HE and VT, followed by airstrikes. At 0440, the 26 Marines were instructed to fire another round of firecrackers, HE, VT, and air. At this particular time, the enemy activity picked up north of Hill 861, 881 south, and 950. Quezon Combat Base continued to take mortars and rockets. COM at this particular point was at 0432. COM was resumed with Long Bay. They reported that the firecrackers, HEVT, were on target and requested to keep the artillery coming. At 0450, 26 Marines reported tanks have left the Long Bay and were heading east towards the Quezon Road. At this point, the 26 Marines continued to run heavy airstrikes on Long Bay, sending AO to look for the tanks. At 0500, the 1st Battalion, 26 Marines reported receiving 38 rounds of rockets. B-126 reported an unknown number of arty fire rounds. At 0533, again, the 26 Marines reported one tank burning on the road, one vehicle burning in Long Bay compound. The rest of the tanks were no longer in sight anywhere on the road. At 0615 Hotel, Quezon was still taking light to moderate incoming and heavy movement around the Royal Laotian Elephant Battalion's position. At 0720, the 26 Marines continued heavy movement, again reported heavy movement around the Elephant Battalion. At 0740, Smunky Hansen 15 Alpha, which was the assistant commander of the Special Forces Group, was in contact with Long Bay and said he believed that 15 friendlies still remained in the compound. And he reported also that he had calm with the compound. At 0900 Hotel, 15 Alpha was still trying to get closer with his Laotian forces to the Long Bay compound. He was calling in airstrikes on the enemy that were still in the area and some of the tanks also that he had reported. And 15 Alpha also reported he now had comm with both the 26 Marines in the Long Bay position. At 0740, 15 Alpha announced his intention to go to the relief of the Long Bay camp using Spooky for cover. At 0900, Spooky 15 Alpha announced that he reported that he had received opposition approximately squad size and NVA units with automatic weapons. AO on station reported two stationary tanks 500 meters south of Long Bay believed to be disabled at the enemy positions near Long Bay at this time. The 26 Marines continued calling in air and firing arty support in status of 15's assault on the camp. The status of the personnel at the camp at this time were unknown. During a period 10 to 1300 on the 7th, Quezon Combat Base reported remaining as quiet, receiving only light small arms or sporadic incoming. The AOs continued to call in air support in the Long Bay area, and at 1047, Quezon Combat Base reported no incoming for some time. They continued their air support and artillery support in the Long Bay operations area. S3 of the 26 Marines reports that the attack, the incoming down south in the area, appears to be lifting, and does not yet have another report from Smunky Hansen 15 Alpha. I have to... At 1400, a message from 3MAF was received that a Lieutenant Davis of the Special Forces on an overflight of the Long Bay position at this time reported that he had comm with Smokey Hansen 15 Alpha plus four Americans and about 100 Laotians and Vietnamese who were part of the Special Force CDIG unit that he owned. Two, also, that there was a tank on top of the TOC, an unknown number of friendlies believed still in this time in the TOC. Two tanks were on the road southwest of the camp, and all three of the tanks, the tank on the bunker and the two on the road southwest of the camp, had been disabled. They still reported fighting going in and around the camp itself. At about 1424, Quezon Combat Base and Long Bay both confirmed that the tanks at this point were estimated to be Soviet medium tanks T-34. They again were reported the destruction or damaging of the tanks, two on the road and one again in the compound. At approximately 1430, Quezon Combat Base reported that they were continuing to receive sporadic incoming mortars within the perimeter of the main base and the outlying outpost. They also reported having approximately 1,000 refugees outside the perimeter to the west. People have been told to return to the villages rather than stay around the position. The tanks at Long Bay again were confirmed to be Soviet medium tanks T-34s, and three had been again reported as being destroyed. At 1505, Quezon Combat Base reported receiving 122mm mortar rockets. At 1600, the rockets were reported still coming in. TPQs were being run as a result, many secondary explosions were reported. At this point, we received a report from the 26th Marines that 32 persons had been evacuated from Long Bay, of which 16 were Americans. Over the period of time at 1800, Quezon Combat Base continued to receive incoming mortars and rockets. Casualty figures at that point were not reported. The CO of the Long Bay Special Forces Group was reported as being evacuated and presently at Charlie Med at Quezon Combat Base with reportedly minor wounds. At 1850, Quezon Combat Base continued to receive sporadic incoming, and the Royal Laotian Elephant Battalion had left their position trying to make it to Quezon Combat Base by foot march. At 1930, Quezon again reported the continuation of receiving sporadic incoming. At 2035, Kilo 326 received 12 rounds of incoming 82mm mortar. They returned the fire with unknown results. At 2045, the SITREP as of 2000 reported negative contact. At 2130, we received a message to the 26th Marines in regards to the estimated 6,000 villagers which were now reported adjacent to the Quezon Combat Base. There was a great deal of discussion in regards to the use by the enemy of these refugees. And in this light, General Tompkins instructed the Deputy Chief of Staff for plans to notify the 26th Marines of his direction in case the enemy did attempt to use the refugees. It would be conducted in three steps in case the enemy uses the civilians as a human wave or a human wave threat or assault on Quezon Combat Base. Initially, CS would be fired. The second step was to fire over their heads next if they kept on coming after the CS. A third, if they still persisted to attempt to enter the combat base by being driven forward by the enemy, the general then instructed the units, the 26th Marines, to inform their units to fire on the crowd. At this point, the 26th Marines reported that one Huey and two 46s were hit in the attempted retrieval of the person from Long Bay. The Huey co-pilot and two crew members were wounded during this action. At this point, the particular phase of Long Bay seemed to withdraw, and Quezon went to its normal defensive posture.
Here. This is Major General Arnold C. Tompkins, USMC, Commanding General 3rd Marine Division Reinforced FMF. I propose to recount the events that took place the night of 6-7 February 1967 as I got them in the COC. This refers to the action of Quezon Combat Base and or Long Bay. at 22:55 hours. A report from the 26th Marines. Hill 861 in the E226 position is under light to moderate ground attack from the south-southeast. They're receiving enemy incoming. Attack believed to be a diversion. Kaesong Combat Base receiving incoming of 82mm mortar and rocket. Light to medium and gradual probe southeast end of the perimeter. The listening posts and the Ivan elements have been pulled back into the main position. Longview is receiving incoming of unknown type and quantity. The Longview Arvin report mini VCNDA. Colonel Lucas, United States Army, says he has not seen any. The S-326 Marines has just passed a report received earlier this evening from a native agent that they have sighted an estimated 2 battalions of NDA early in the evening moving to Kaesong. 23:25 hours. Attack on Hill 861 has ceased. The combat base still has activity in the Arvin position. There's heavy enemy movement reported in the area. 23:55 hours. Report by FFCC 3rd Marine Division. The four 175mm guns are firing missions in support of combat base at Kaesong. 0050 hours. At 0040, Longview Special Forces Camp is under ground attack. Some enemy are in the wire. Enemy supported by tanks. Kaesong Combat Base receiving heavy incoming. They're firing all supporting arms in support of Longview. 0105 hours. Report from 3rd MAF. Estimated 7 enemy tanks in the wire at Longview. End of relay. The 26 Marines are requesting Spooky in support of Longview. Heavy incoming at the combat base continues. 0135 hours. Kaesong Combat Base averaging 6 rounds of incoming per minute. Ground troops approaching wire at Longview. 0140. Message from 3 MAF. They report 9 enemy tanks at Longview. 1 knocked out, 7 inside position on hill, 2 in the wire. 0150 hours. CO 26 Marines have been directed by me to use Kofam artillery against infantry accompanying tanks at Longview. 0240 hours. Enemy troops in Longview. Tanks still outside the wire. Firecracker not used at request of Longview CO because, quote, he wants to use air on them, end quote. 0243. Spoke to Captain Begg, 26 Marines target officer, and asked him to pass the message, quote, suggest CO Longview check air, bring in firecracker, then air be brought in again, end quote. 0245 hours, from Longview via 3rd MAF relay. Quote, all troops above ground are enemy, request artillery and air, tanks on hill south and southwest of us, end quote. I told S-326 Marines, use firecracker, then HE on the tanks, then air, end quote. 0255. At grid coordinate 770418, two large secondary explosions. At grid coordinate 753412, two large secondary explosions. Captain Begg, 26 Marines target officer, says undoubtedly rocket explosions. 0303. Firecracker mission fired on enemy troops at Longview. It's to be followed without pause by HE in the tanks, VT, then HE. At 0315, from S-326 Marines, no communications with Longview. 28 rounds of 105mm firecracker fired over a 5-minute period. Then 5 minutes of mixed HE and VT. Then air came right in on top. 0320. Asked Longview via 3rd MAF relay, quote, if they, Longview, have gas masks, do they want CS on position, end quote. Answer, quote, do not want CS on position, end quote. 0325, relay from 3rd MAF, quote, enemy tank sitting on Longview communications bunker, end quote. Also, quote, special forces have deliberately destroyed primary means of communication, are using secondary. Quote, they passed the secondary frequency to us. The above was passed at 026 Marines. 0343, S-326 Marines reports Air Center has an incoming C-130 with approximately 100 men aboard. 0345, CO-26 Marines called. He was concerned about the condition of the runway. There are tanks running around between him and Langvay. The infantry abounds in this area. 0350, CG 3rd MARDIV protests to CG 3rd MAF an incoming C-130 to land or drop Special Forces personnel. CG 3rd MAF apparently was not aware. He said he would try to have them diverted to my place. I presume that's either Dong Ha or Quang Tri. 0405, CG 3rd MAF says the C-130 will not go into Khe Sanh. I told CG 3rd MAF that his G-3 was asking for ground relief column to go to Langvay at first light. I told CG we had no troops to send to Langvay, and he agreed that no troops should go, and said to tell G-3 that he said so. I said I had no intention of sending troops unless he, General Cushman, so ordered me. 0406, told the MAF G-3, Colonel Smith, negative on the relief column, and that CG 3rd MAF concurs. I further said that such a column at this time would be a lot of foolishness. 0411, at 0350, the AO spotted flamethrowers being used on Langvay. Special forces have no flamethrowers. 0412, ordered firecracker to be fired ASAP on Langvay and kept up. 0425, told S-326 Marines to fire two more 28-round firecracker packages as fast as possible. One package was shot out at 0421, 36 rounds. Our present schedule calls for 5 minutes of firecracker, 5 minutes of HEVT mix, then direct support air from two aircraft, then the cycle again with firecracker and HEVT. Spooky is on station. 0440, shot out second package at 0421. Incoming rockets at Khe Sanh, CP hitting nearby. 26 Marine told to keep continuous packages above on Langvay. When low on firecracker, switch to VT. Save some firecracker for our own hill positions. There's a report of intense activity north of Hill 881 South, 861, and 950. At 0432 hours, in communication with Langvay FDC, quote, firecracker right on target, keep it coming, end quote. Subsequently, we found that that quoted report came from Colonel Bunky Hansen, who was in, I believe, the old Langvay position with the Laotian soldiers. 0449, S-326 Marines reports that extra airstrikes are being run on Langvay. He says, quote, tanks off Langvay and have moved to position east of Langvay. This from Colonel Bunky Hansen. AO going in to determine enemy tank strength, etc. 0500, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines received 38 rounds of rocket fire, believed to be 120 millimeter. Three of them are apparently duds or delayed fuses. 0518, CO-26 Marines, tanks are running around on Langvay. Aircraft will attack. I told CO-26 Marines to attack tanks even if they're in the compound at the risk of shooting up the bunkers. 0533, one tank burning on road, one vehicle burning in Langvay compound. 0540, S-326 Marines reports, aircraft are using what they came up with against the tanks. Marine aircraft have hard ordnance, 500-pound and larger bombs, one flight every 20 minutes. United States Air Force B-57s are armed with napalms and snake eyes. 26 Marines have been asking for half and half, that is half napalms and snakes, half delay and quick fuse 500-pound bombs and larger.
will ask for rockets at daylight. Fog makes visual rocketing impractical. Laotian Elephant Brigade Unit at 794357 vicinity of O-Lang Bay. This was reported by AO, and he says that they are apparently the target of approaching enemy infantry. 0600. CG 3rd MAF wants to know if the artillery is still working on Lang Bay. 26 Marines reports right now they're running air on Lang Bay to be followed by artillery. Caisson still taking incoming. 0615. S3 26 Marines reports Caisson receiving sporadic incoming. At O Lang Bay, Bunky Hansen, the 15 Able, is reported a great deal of movement to his front. They have gunships down there over them at O Lang Bay. Air still working on Lang Bay. This completes my notes for the night of 6-7 February 1967, which encompasses the attack on Lang Bay Special Forces Camp. These notes are taken from my notebook as I wrote them down as the action transpired, and I had stationed in the COC at Dong Ha. End of report.
I was awakened at about 0100 on 7 February 1968 with news that the enemy was commencing a determined attack on the village of Lang Vay Special Forces Camp. I immediately moved to the COC bunker, 3rd Marine Division, forward at Dong Ha, where I could stay abreast of the action and keep track of what was going on, and to the extent possible to make suggestions to the commanding general that might be of assistance in resolving a very difficult situation. At 0130, we received word in the COC that up to 7 tanks were at Lang Bay. These are enemy tanks. We had this report from aircraft overhead, referred to as Covey Air, and we also had word that enemy ground troops were close to the wire at Lang Vay. At about this time, we had relayed from 3 MAF in Da Nang, and this relay would have come through communication sources at 3 MAF directly to Lang Vay, that there were 9 tanks at Lang Vay, and that 7 of these were inside the wire. They further reported that 1 of these tanks had been knocked out. At this point, Major General Tompkins, the commanding general, realizing that enemy forces were right on top of the camp at Lang Vay, inquired why we should not use a few firecrackers at Lang Vay. Previously, we had been using VT and HE shells from our artillery located at Caisson. This question was later to be resolved, so I will not comment further on it at this time. At 0150, our G2 reported that a command and control element, presumably controlling the attack on Lang Vay, was located fairly precisely, and he passed this information on to the 26th Marines, who immediately targeted the installation. I do not have any results of that particular firing effort to knock out the command and control element. At 0150, General Tompkins asked that we find out from the DASC, that is a 3rd Marine Division DASC, whether we had any air over the area. We learned that we had a flare ship and spooky aircraft. And we learned from our watch in the COC that we had fixed-wing aircraft on station now working targets, now attacking targets in and near Longvay. At about 0200, the 3MAF air officer inquired how much air we had on station. We checked that with the 26th Marines at Quezon and learned that we had two flights there now, two flights over Longvay, and that they were running TPQ-10 attacks about every 15 minutes. Later, at 0210, the number of two flights was increased to four flights of Air Force aircraft on station being directed by Covey. Then at 0215, 3MAF, again relaying word from Longvay, reported that four or five enemy tanks were on the position, right on the position at Longvay. At the same time, we received word that more flights, more aircraft armed with rockets are needed. Of course, the rockets would give the capability of attacking the tanks, whereas the iron bombs were not as effective for this purpose. We learned then, we received the word, accuracy of which I cannot establish, that aircraft armed in this manner were being scrambled at Da Nang. To my knowledge, they were not, however. At 0240, we heard from the S3 of the 26th Marines that enemy troops were inside the wire at Longvay. The tanks were maneuvering inside and outside the position. Longvay, that is the defenders of Longvay, said that they would prefer not to use firecrackers at this time because they wanted to work the air on the targets, that is, work friendly air against the targets. And they realized that if firecrackers were used, that they'd have to call off the air. Naturally, the 26th Marines expected that they would be attacked at any minute with these circumstances occurring so close to them. Again, the commanding general was concerned that the firecracker was not being used, and he said to the 26th Marines to give serious consideration to checking the air, using the firecracker, then bringing the air back again. He said, let's use firecrackers, then HE, then air. Shortly after this, and before we had any decision on what was to be done about firecrackers, at 0245, we received word from 3MAF that everything above ground is enemy. That is at Longvay. Everything above ground is enemy. So with this news, General Tompkins said, let's use firecrackers, then HE, then air. About this time, and before we had word of the firecrackers being used, we learned at 0255 that Friendly Air reported they had two large secondary explosions at these coordinates, 752-412. The firecrackers were finally used, according to the 26th Marines, at 0257 local time. They used some 26 firecrackers. At least that's the way it was. I'll take that back. Correction. 28 rounds the first time. The firecrackers were followed with HE, VT, and air again. At 0308, 3MAF asked us what was the caliber of the firecrackers used, and although we didn't know immediately, we were able to learn soon that they were 105s, and that they were spread over a period, that is, the 28 rounds were spread over a period of about 5 minutes. And then they were followed by 5 minutes of mixed HE and VT, and then air. About this time, the 26th Marines lost their communications with Longvay. At 0320, we asked 3MAF to ask Longvay whether CS gas would be desired on the position. Very soon we received our answer back, no, They did not desire CS. We didn't ever have an explanation of why they preferred that we not use CS on the position. At 0325, we learned from 3MAF again, relaying, that tanks were sitting on the comm bunker, sitting right on top of the comm bunker at Long Bay. We also learned that the Long Bay defenders had destroyed their primary source of communications and were operating secondary sources. This word was passed on to the 26th Marines, who affirmed again that friendly aircraft were attacking enemy targets in and around Long Bay. At 0333, we received a call from the 26th Marines asking us if we knew anything about a C-130 inbound for the Quezon area. We relayed the question to 3MAF because, of course, we had no information at all. About the only information we could get at that time was that from 3MAF that they were trying to get a C-130 to load up at Da Nang. We didn't know at that time what they meant by load up. At 0345, though, we learned that what they were referring to were 100 paratroopers or special forces personnel loaded in a C-130. I can't substantiate the accuracy of that report. That is a report we got at 0345. At 0350, the commanding officer, 26th Marines, Colonel Lowndes, complained to General Tompkins that the runway may not even be usable for a C-130 to land at Quezon, since they were receiving considerable incoming at Quezon, and it seemed entirely possible that the runway might be pitted and cratered. Thereupon, General Tompkins spoke to Colonel Smith, the G3 at 3MAF, and registered a complaint about the proposed employment of troops moving into the area, since it would inhibit our supporting arms. And further, General Tompkins inquired how the forces thus introduced would make their way to Long Bay. General Tompkins also registered a complaint with General Cushman, CG3MAF, who said he knew nothing about it, about the move of the C-130, but he said he would check. He promised to check, and that the time of that event was 0355. By 0405, General Cushman notified General Tompkins that the airplane, that is the C-130, won't go in. Also, by this time, General Tompkins had received inquiries about sending a relief column from Quezon to Long Bay. General Tompkins complained about sending a relief column on such a mission. Continuing on the telephone call, General Tompkins to General Cushman, in which he complained about a proposal that a relief column of Marines from the 26th Marines be sent from Quezon to Long Bay. General Tompkins felt that this is precisely what the enemy was looking for, that they would ambush the route from Quezon to Long Bay, and I'm convinced that they had done so, hoping that we would send a column down there. General Tompkins had long planned a set-piece defense, not venturing out too far to fall into traps that the enemy may have set in the area, force the enemy to come to us. And his opinion was that it would be extremely unwise to mount any sort of a move toward Long Bay. It would be throwing good money after bad. General Cushman concurred that such a move would be exceedingly unwise, in fact, stupid. After this conversation, General Tompkins relayed the word of the decision of CG3MAF to Colonel Smith, G3MAF, and I believe that that conversation was monitored by a member of the Special Forces who heard the rather strong reaction to the proposal and the what the decision was. At 0410, we learned that Quezon
had not received any further incoming for about 45 minutes. 0413, an air observer over Long Bay reported use of flamethrowers. Since the special forces have no flamethrowers, of course, the assumption was that these flamethrowers were of the enemy, those of the enemy. We never heard anything more about this, however. It's entirely possible that this was flame leaping from perhaps one gasoline source to another, and from the air may have had the appearance of flamethrowers. I do not have any information that would substantiate that. Longvay was impressed, apparently, with the effect of the first firecrackers and relayed through 3MAF the fact that they would like some more firecrackers as soon as possible. We and the COC then passed this word to the 26th Marines to fire firecrackers ASAP. I believe that 36 rounds were fired on this second series, again from the 105s. Then we asked that the spooky aircraft get in to take a look. Again, we didn't get a readout, a bomb damage assessment or a shelling assessment, damage assessment of any type from the firecrackers. We can only assume that they did some good, but we have no proof of that. Again, at 0425, we learned that the package of 36 rounds commenced at 0421, lasted for about 5 minutes, was followed up by VT, HE, and then air attacked again. In other words, the sequence was very similar, identical, as a matter of fact, to the earlier sequence. At 0428, we were able to get the secondary frequencies of the survivors in Long Bay and pass them to the 26th Marines, hopefully so that they could have direct communications and not depend on relaying through 3MAF to 3rd Marine Division to 26th Marines. 0443, Quezon began taking rocket attacks. At 0432, we learned from the special forces that the firecrackers had been on target. At about this time, that is around 0432, Quezon reported intense activity north of Hills 861, 881 South, and 950. We anticipated attacks on the Quezon combat base, but our expectations were never realized. The attack never came on that particular night. Because there had been tanks in the area, we recommended that Zuni rockets be carried on our aircraft so that we could more effectively attack these tanks. So, since there was some indication that our tanks had not had the appropriate weapons to knock out the tanks and that we may have let some lucrative targets, enemy armor, escape. To my knowledge, we have proof, photographic proof, of only two of the tanks positively being destroyed. However, it's entirely possible that others were, but going on the photographic evidence, two would be the number that I'm familiar with. This concludes my knowledge of the attack on the early morning of 7 February of North Vietnamese Army forces on the Special Forces camp at Long Bay.
Quezon, 12 February, 68. John T. Williamson, Lieutenant 0101684 USMC. COC Watch Officer, 26th Marine Regiment. at 07042 Hotel, February 26th Marine COC, received first word of Spokane Head Sea Forces being under attack. Report we received stated that Spokane Hansen had both troops and tanks on his defensive wire at that time. The next report we received from Spokane Hansen was at 0054 when he reported the tanks were inside his defensive wire. At this time, IS-2 reported interception of a transmission that indicated NVA artillery would increase shelling of KSON combat base. Throughout the attack on Long Bay, this proved to be true, for from about 0045 through 0800, KSON combat base received heavy rocket and mortar attack in all sectors of the base. At 0102, a further report from Spunky Hansen reported 7 tanks counted at this time. These reports are merely pickups that we have from their radio conversations. They weren't made directly to us. At 0115, the 26th Marines 1-4 reported a fixed wing aircraft were on the way to Spunky Hansen. At 0121, the Sierra 26 Marines set red alert at KSON combat base. At 0130, Spokey Hansen requested Victor Tango fire at 78535 Manor. At 0131, the FSCC estimated KSON combat base is incoming at approximately 5 rounds per minute. At 0135, Spokey Hansen reported that the Victor Tango artillery fire was impacting over his position. At 0148, Spokey Hansen requested Victor Tango fire and flares all over his area, directly over his positions. At 0154, Spokey requested a check fire on the Victor Tango. At 0220, Spokey Hansen reported troops hitting both ends of his compound. At 0228, Spokey Hansen reported more tanks coming from the east by Long Bay to his position.
Major Sweeney, we got
people
a mile and a half to the east of the field.
At 0239, Spokey Hansen reported some friendly troops, as you were, some enemy troops inside his compound. At 0242, Beach Boys 6 strongly recommended lifting air, hitting Spokey Hansen defensive fires with firecracker, and then putting the air back on the target. At 0243, 26 Marines received information that the third map had indicated all people above ground at Long Bay were enemy. Again, it suggested we fire firecracker, Victor Tango, and then air. At 0257, firecracker was fired over Spokey Hansen's position after warning them to keep their heads down. Coordinates of firecracker, X-ray Delta 786357. A total of 28 rounds of firecracker were fired at those coordinates. At approximately 0310, we lost direct communication with Spunky Hansen. At 0325, after speaking with Division, we learned that Spunky Hansen had lost comm with us due to a tank sitting on top of his TOC bunker, which had broken his radio antennas. At 0340, 26 Marines received word of a transport with 100 Army troops on board, which could be airlifted to KSON. It was believed at this time that the runway may not
not be inoperable, and at this hour of darkness, the troops would come in at a very bad time. It was recommended that they not enter. At 0411, Long Bay Special Forces Camp requested a repeat of the firing of firecracker Victor Tango and airstrikes.
Well out there.
At 0418, 26 Marine COC C1, with the Army troops on the transport previously mentioned, would not be sent in this night.
No, he's not
going to
join.
0419, Third Margin requested we fire a 10-minute package of artillery followed by airstrikes, then 10 minutes more of artillery and more airstrikes over the Long Bay compound.
Rich? Yes, sir. I think what's happened
is 0420, the artillery firecracker shell again.
And
0424, the COC received word that all Smithy Hansen personnel were in bunkers underground. And 0446, Smithy Hansen reported tanks on road east of him, believed he headed in the direction of Quezon Combat Base. At this time, Spunky Hansen was in contact with division by some means, but not with us. We soon began to get traffic from Spunky Hansen 15 Alpha, however, a special force detachment working with BV-33 Laotian troops, 33rd Battalion. Early the next morning, we'd been in the dark for some time about Long Bay's condition. We received word from Spunky Hansen 15 Alpha that he determined to go in and get the survivors out. The survivors seemed to be all in the TOC bunker, and he estimated that there were 15 Americans alive there. The next word we heard from him, he had left his camp with an estimated company size force of Laotians, and as far as I know, two special forces advisors with this group, and were firing the way in Long Bay. They met scattered enemy resistance, usually of about squad size with automatic weapons, but managed to fight their way into the compound itself, where just before noon they were within sight of the bunker they wanted to relieve. They had several automatic weapons firing between them and the bunker, and this is the point where I went off my watch in the COC. The rest of the story, as I can piece it together, may not be completely chronologically accurate, but the forces did get in with the loss of the two special forces men detached to 33rd BVN, and approximately 15 were rescued from Long Bay from the TOC bunker. We received the next morning elements of 33rd Battalion Laotians outside our gate, and the problem was what to do with them, and it was decided after talks with higher authorities to just take their weapons and turn them away rather than let them enter the compound. And this is the last I know on the incident. Besides some of the indigenous forces I mentioned, some of the Laotians who showed up at our gates, there were also a great number of civilians who had been made homeless by the action, and it was decided that they also should not be allowed in the compound because there were VC intermingled within the bunch, and at times we received a couple of incoming grenades from the whole affair. AS-5 officer dealt mainly with them, and tried to explain to them the situation and send them back to their villages as well as he could.
I'm Captain William J. O'Connor, serial number 082423. United States Marine Corps, commanding officer of Charlie Battery Group, 1st Battalion, 13th Marines. Charlie Battery Group consists of three guns from Charlie 113, which are located on Hill 881. Their primary mission is to fire defensive fires in support of Quezon Combat Base. We also have three guns from Charlie 113 here at the Quezon Combat Base, and 6 guns from Bravo 113, whose primary mission is to support Quezon Combat Base and also to fire in support of Hills 861, 881, and Longley Special Forces Camp. On the evening of 7 February 1968, at about 2300 or 2400 in the evening, action started on Hill 861. Both the guns on 881 and on 9 guns here at Quezon Combat Base commenced firing in support of 861. That action finally died down, and then we got the word that the Long Bay Special Forces Camp was getting hit. Initially, we started firing Shell HE Fuse Quick in support of Long Bay, and we did have radio communications with them. We received the word from them that armored APCs were approaching their camp. And we commenced firing both in support of the camp and also on the armored APCs. As the enemy got closer to the camp, we switched to Shell HE Fuse VT and kept firing that until we got the word that the NVA were inside the compound. At that time, we lost communications with Longway and continued firing HEVT on top of the base. Shortly thereafter, we got the word to start breaking out firecracker rounds, and we were told to break out 10 rounds for one gun. At that time, we got the word to gun 3, belonging to Bravo Battery, to break out 10 rounds. Shortly thereafter, we got the word to break out 10 rounds on another gun, at which time we took gun 2 from Charlie Battery. We then commenced firing firecracker rounds on the Special Forces Camp at Long Bay. Shortly after we started firing the firecracker rounds, we again established calm with Long Bay, and we got the word that the firecracker rounds were doing the job and to keep them coming. We also got a report from Long Bay and from an AO on station that we had knocked out 2 of the APCs, that Long Bay had gotten 1 APC, and the air had also knocked out an APC. They had APCs inside the compound and also NVA inside the compound. We then broke out firecracker rounds on all our 9 guns here at Quezon and commenced firing and continued firing for approximately an hour to an hour and a half, expending a total of 68 rounds of firecracker, plus quite a number of HE rounds, both quick and VT. Throughout the night, we took incoming periodically, which seemed to be more of an H&I type of firing than a planned attack to knock out our guns here at Quezon. We did not take any casualties, and we did not take any rounds directly in the battery position. Most of them going around the perimeter and up by the airstrip. During that night of the 7th and early morning of the 8th, we fired a total of a little over 1,000 rounds, both Shell HE and the firecracker rounds, in support of Hill 861 and the Long Bay Special Forces Camp. Since that time, we have fired on the Long Bay Special, both the old and the new Special Forces Camp, in response to intelligence reports of units being in the camp, and also one intelligence report of a meeting of some high-ranking NVA officers. One night we did get word that one mission we fired down there did considerable damage to one NVA company, and we in turn fired again on them in order to exploit the damage that we had already done. Our biggest mission fired down in the Long Bay area was a battery 10 rounds, on which we expended a total of 90 Shell HE Fuse Quick. Since the morning of the 21st, we have been receiving incoming every day. Our biggest attack on the battery position was on the 23rd of February, at which time we received heavy artillery, mortar, and rocket fire for a period of approximately an hour to an hour and a half. This attack commenced at 1800 at night. We did return fire and finally silenced the weapons, not getting worried whether we did knock them out, but we did silence them and did stop the attack. Our casualties here have been light. We've been quite fortunate. We are dug in, and I contribute most of the reason why we have such few casualties, the fact that we are living completely underground. Our troops have both their upper and their lower body armor and their helmets on at all times. When we do start receiving incoming and we have to man the guns to return fire, we send the complete fire command down to the guns before getting them out of their holes to man the gun. Once they have the complete fire command down on the guns, they come out of their holes, man the guns, get the dope on the weapon, load it, they fire it when ready, fire the number of rounds that we tell them to, immediately jump back in their holes, and then report all rounds expended. During incoming, we have never tried to fire the battery as a battery as such. We just give the dope to the guns, they get out there, fire it when ready. This makes for sporadic firing. Sometimes one gun will be completely fired before the other guns even start, but it has proven to be quite effective in keeping down our number of casualties. The cannoneers have at times fired on their hands and knees due to the incoming and sometimes getting sniper fire. They keep as low to the ground as possible, trying not to present a target. At the present time, we are trying to maintain at least 4,000 rounds of high explosive shell in the battery position. Approximately 600 rounds of firecracker, 500 to 600 rounds of illumination, and 200 to 300 rounds of WP. The reason for this being that the main ammunition dump on the base, which was located adjacent to Charlie Battery's position, was hit the first night, the first morning that we got hit, the morning of the 21st, and all the ammunition exploded. Since then, they've tried to spread the ammunition out around the base, but they seem to have most of the ammunition dumps pretty well located, and they shell them continuously. We're trying to keep as much ammo as we can on position in case the ammunition dump gets hit. We have been digging ammunition bunkers. We have been digging personnel bunkers. We continue to dig them at every break that we get, every break in firing and every break in the incoming. We've been using deep holes, lining the insides of the holes with ammo boxes filled with dirt, covering them over with airstrip matting when we can get it, putting ammo boxes filled with dirt on top of that, and sandbags on top of that, trying to get at least two layers of ammo boxes filled with dirt and 3 to 4 layers of sandbags. We have one bunker that did take a direct hit from a rocket, and the only thing it did was blow up the top row of ammo boxes. It did not penetrate the bunker, although it did knock everything off the walls on the inside of the bunker. We try to keep our ammo dispersed. We try to keep it all on the ground. We've also been keeping piles of loose dirt next to the gun parapets in case of fires in the ammo bunkers, so we can shovel the dirt on top of the fire in an attempt to put it out. Our supply tent was hit. We lost all our fire extinguishers. We lost all our fire barrels during the first attack. They all got shrapnel holes and none of them were whole water. Of course, the base is low on water and we're using most of it for washing and drinking.
Lieutenant Colonel Harry L. Alderman, 049-788, USMC, CO-326. As of today, 16 February, 68, the mission of the battalion is the defense of Hills 881 South, 861, and 861 Alpha, and the Red...